So, a lot of us think about this time of year, kindness, and what can I do to help people in need? Because there's always, you know, people in need and always people needing help. So, George Albert Smith talks about a lot of ways that we can show kindness to others. And he says, by being kind and patient, we can soften hearts and encourage others to live righteously. He believed in the power of kindness to soften hearts. He taught that we should meet our problems in the spirit of love and kindness toward all. His granddaughter told of a story of George Albert Smith and about how he dealt with an issue. He lived in Salt Lake, and there was a problem down the street, and the workers down there were kind of swearing, had crude language, were really loud. And he had a neighbor that came and asked them to be quiet and, you know, be respectful. You know, President Smith is up there. You know, could you be respectful and keep it down? Well, they reacted by being worse, and they reacted by being louder and more crude. And so President Smith, instead of, you know, becoming bitter and angry at them or going and yelling at them, instead he noticed it was a really hot day. They were sweating. They didn't want to be there, I'm sure, because it was so hot. So he decided that, you know, to kind of build that bridge, he would take them lemonade. So he brought down lemonade to him and said, you know, I've got trees here. Would you like to come sit in the shade, drink some lemonade, cool off? And so by doing that, he was that example to them. And they, after their pleasant little break, they went back to their labors and finished their work carefully and quietly. When have you seen an act of kindness soften someone's heart? Even if it's the smallest things, it doesn't have to be grand or crazy. You know, even if it's yourself, when have you seen an act of kindness soften someone's heart? Yeah.
I had a student last year that he actually had just come back from duty. I teach eighth graders, and he had come back from duty and very hardened. His parents taught him to smoke when he was like 9 and drink, and he just struggled with a lot of things in his life. And he was working through the process of trying to do an essay, like even trying to write, you know. And I had an older kid in my class. His name was McLean, and when I say this, I always want to cry. But smart, cool, you know, and everybody liked him. And I asked him if he could just help him during homeroom. And you know, the kid never even tried. He went right to the job. And he walked that kid through. And it wasn't just that kid. It was like for the next 2 months. And David actually got sent back to juvenile delinquent because he had done something outside of school. Mm-hmm. But I know that there was something that happened to him during that time, that mentorship that he had with one of his own peers. You know, just sitting there patiently being with him.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how just that simple act of kindness for 20 minutes a day makes such a difference in this young man's life. And, you know, he learned to write and communicate better with people on paper. And so, those little things.
Good. That's a great example of helping someone that you can see is struggling. And even, you know, you asked for him to help. And, of course, you know, he'll probably help just because I'm sure you're the teacher. But the fact that he continued to help and continued to be there for that boy and help that boy. And who knows, you know, further on in his life what effect that could have on his life. So I think that's a great example. Yeah, go ahead.
Years ago, I was headed down the highway with my 2 children in the car, and all of a sudden, I'm passing a car. At the same time, the back of my car starts having a funny reaction as I'm going about 70 miles an hour. But anyway, when I got in front of the other car, I had to pull all the way over off of the expressway, and the man behind me pulled off with me, and I thought, ooh, you know, well, what's this all about? Well, my tire went flat. He got out. He was actually a mechanic that worked at changing tires.
Convenient.
Yeah, and he changed my tire for me. I had no clue about changing tires.
Good.
And then as he got it all fixed up and I was ready to go, and I said, well, may I pay you, you know, for your work here? And he said, oh, no, just pass it on.
That's good. Pass it on. Just pass it on. Okay, does anyone else have any stories that they want to share right now? Don't worry. I'm sure we'll have much more time to share. So, one reason President Smith treated people with such kindness is that he had a conviction that there is innate good in everyone. To me, you know, I believe that there's good in everyone as well. I believe that people have had very difficult lives, and that's why they're hardened towards others and hardened towards life and things like that. But I believe that as well as President Smith, that there is innate good in everyone. Elder Matthew Cowley, a member of the Quorum of the Twelve, was talking about when he visited President Smith and said that, I walked up to his bedside and he said, and he reached out and took me by my hand and gripped my hand firmly, and he said, young man, remember all the days of your life that you can find good in everyone if you will but look for it. So the thing that I thought of, because I love cartoons, I'm just like that. I just love them because they're usually really clean and just fun. So I think of Emperor's New Groove, the time when he tells the emperor that there's no good in him or whatever, but then the canyon wall crumbles and he grabs him. The llama grabs him out of the air or whatever, and he's like, oh, I snatched you right out of the air. And then he's like, you just saved my life. And he's like, oh, no, I didn't. Like, what was I supposed to do? You know, and so even though, you know, he thought that there was no good in that person, when it push comes to shove, he showed that there was. So I just think of that. Yeah, go ahead, Sister.
Well, I just think about many of my experiences as a visiting teacher, and I know I've shared this before, but there have been times where I've had people put on my list where I thought, really, you know, I don't see that I have anything in common with this person. They're not active. They're doing a lot of stuff that I would never even consider doing in my life. But as I have gotten to know these people and gotten to, you know, understand their background and understand what's going on in their life and found ways that I can help and serve these people, I've also found that most of these people are extremely nice people that wouldn't hesitate serving back. It's just that because of their background, they're in general judged instead of giving the opportunity to serve.
Exactly.
So I think it's so easy to not see past. It's so easy to just judge by what we see instantly instead of being able. And sometimes we don't have the opportunity to seek behind. You know, some
yeah.
people won't let us in, and sometimes that's just not our opportunity. But I have had many, many great opportunities to do that, and it's I would say 9 times out of 10 or more, it's been a really great and pleasant experience.
Good. That's a good example. I find myself a lot of the times, especially when I was in high school, a lot more shallow, things like that, I would see a girl, and I would just think automatically, I would judge her automatically and be like, oh, she's pretty, she's skinny, she must be, you know, a brat or something like that. And I would be put in a situation in like a group with her. I'm like, are you kidding me? I don't want to be in a group with her. Like, she's a brat, you know? And so I get put in that group with her or him. I mean, there's guys too. And then I will get to know them, and they will become, like, they've become some of my best friends. And I realize, wow, we have a lot in common. We get along really super well. And so I know, as personally, I've been told I can come off abrasive or kind of scary, or I don't know, I don't get it. but like for me, like I would like people to take a second and get to know me and actually talk to me instead of judging me right away. And I know that everyone would appreciate that. So, you know, we've always been taught, do unto others as we would like to have done unto us. So why not take that time? If we expect someone else to take that time and be like, well, get to know me before you say I'm a jerk or before you think I'm rude, do that to someone else. And you'll find that those people that you are judging so harshly will be your best friend and will be someone that you'll get along with really well. Elder Cowley goes on, and said of President Smith, he loved everyone because he could see the good within them. He did not look upon sin with the least degree of allowance, but he loved the sinner because he knew that God was love. And I think that's important you know, for people to understand, you can love the person, but you don't have to love what they're doing, like what you were saying. You know, you learn to love that person that you visiting taught, but you didn't love what they did. You'd never do what they do. But that doesn't mean that you can't love who they are. Maybe there are sinners who mistook his love for respect, but he didn't respect the sinner, but he loved him. I'm sure that love found response in the hearts and lives of those whom he loved. He goes on, President Smith goes on to say, I feel sad sometimes when I hear the unkind things that are spoken, and not only people in our church, but of people in the world. Unkind things are not usually said under the inspiration of the Lord. So I think to myself, if something pops into my head that's unkind or judgmental about someone, that I can automatically assume it's Satan just throwing that into my head and ruining maybe a possibly really great relationship. And the spirit of the Lord is the spirit of kindness. It is the spirit of patience. It is the spirit of charity and love and forbearance and long-suffering. So being judgmental and unkind and thinking unkind things obviously is not the spirit of the Lord, and that's not the spirit that we should be having, and we should be careful with those thoughts or actions that we go upon, because we might think, well, I have the right to judge this person because of this and this and this. Well, no, you don't, because that's probably just Satan saying that to you. Every influence of peace ought to be exercised. Lucifer is exercising every means to destroy the soul of the human family. He is more active than he has ever been, and he works in such an insidious way. I mean, think about today. You walk down the street, and how hard is it, just in your own mind, in your own day, TV, games that you may play, things like that, how hard it is and how hard Satan's working on you. It's a constant for me every single day. It's like always a fight to be always being like, no, I shouldn't be thinking mean things about this person because I'm sure they're a really nice person, or I'm sure they've had a hard life. And that's something that I've been trying to do for myself is, you never know. And then if you judge someone, I found sometimes if I've judged someone and I learned who they are and what they've gone through, I'm just like, oh my gosh, I'm the mean one. I'm the bad one because I thought all these bad things about this person, and they've been through so many hard times, and that was just unacceptable of me. President Smith talks about one thing, because there's many and numerous things, but one thing that we're tempted as individuals to do, and it's to destroy the reputation of another by saying unkind things of them. So basically gossiping to neighbors, friends, whatever. It's so easy to criticize someone else, so easy to find fault, and sometimes we speak harshly of our neighbors and friends. Now this is what our Heavenly Father has to say about it. Judge not that you be not judged, for with that what judgment ye judge, shall be judged, and with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine eye? So basically, you look to someone and you like pull out the tiniest little thing and start tearing someone apart, being unkind to them about the tiniest little thing, where in your life you have something even larger that you're not taking care of and that, you know, that might be showing. Yes, that's true.
So I think very often, and maybe especially us as women, we tend to be the one that's the least kind to ourselves. And we use this beam in our eyes not to see the mote in our eyes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think we need to use this towards ourselves too and not be so critical. I mean, yeah, we need to realize that we have faults. We need to realize we're not perfect. But I think sometimes we judge ourselves really, really, really harsh, and we measure ourselves up to others that we think are perfect because sometimes they put up the facade of nothing is wrong in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And we bring ourselves really far down, which makes it hard for us to be positive towards others because we feel so crappy ourselves. And so I think a lot of this actually starts with ourselves, making us feel good about us, because if I feel good about me, I can have the generosity of feeling good about others and of being that friendly person and of being willing to go out and help. If I feel crappy about myself, then I'm not going to want to do any of those things. So I think it needs to start with ourselves. It needs to start with us learning that we are good people and we are worth being a daughter of our Heavenly Father.
Exactly. I stand here today and everyone is just so different. Everyone looks so different. Their hair color, like nobody's is the same hair color. Nobody's face shape is the same. Nobody's eyes are the same. And to me, it's amazing because each and every person is beautiful in their own way. But yet we think that we should be someone that we're not and always like be looking up to someone and being like, I want to be like them. In my life, I've had recently the experience of a lot of people that I've looked up to in my life and I want to be like them. I want to be like them. And because they seemed so perfect. They looked so perfect. They acted so perfect. They acted like they had the perfect life. And then all of a sudden, the ground just comes crumbling out underneath them. And we find out who they really are. And so to me, when everyone's gone, when family and friends fail you, what are you left with? You're left with your Heavenly Father and you're left with you. So like what Sister Shirley is saying, you need to be who you want to be. Like, you need to be acceptant of who you are. You can't change who you are necessarily and be, and like to me, in the end, that's who I'm left with. If someone in my life that I've looked up to for years, I looked up to this person for 23 years of my life and I wanted to be just like her. And I found out that she is everything that I do not stand for. And that was really hard for me. And it's been really hard for me because I've just been dealing with that. And dealing with, you know, the person that I wanted to be like is nothing that I wanted to be like. And then I look at myself and I'm like, oh, I'm who I want to be like. I'm who she should be looking up to because I feel like I'm happy and I have a family and, you know, I feel like I'm doing what I can to make my life work. And so to me, who we're left with is us. And so just like Sister Shirley said, be kind to yourself because in the end that's who you got, you know. If you're married, your husband may pass away, your kids will leave home, you know, you're left with you and you need to be happy with that. As people, we are advised not to be critical, not to be unkind, not to speak harshly of those with whom we associate. We ought to be the greatest exemplars in all the world in their regards. Consider the criticism today. You pick up the newspaper and it's just tearing people apart. Just like the runways or red carpet things or whatever. All it is people being like, well, this was wrong with her outfit and this was wrong with her outfit and things like that. Just tearing people apart of just nitpicking every bad little thing, but what about all the good things that people are doing? And it's important that we look and try and find those good things that people are doing, and usually the good things that they're doing are way more grandeur than the bad things that they're doing, the little things. What are some situations in which we can set such an example of being good? Yeah, go for it.
I think of this. Yes, come back in and all these little children. And I was so impressed with the father of the young girl that was killed that was from the Ogden area. When he was on television last night, he talked about his beautiful daughter and how kind she was to everyone. But what an example she was to the life that she touched. And he said that he wasn't bitter towards this, you know, that was a terrible deed this young man did to kill that many people. But he held no grudge toward him. He just wanted people to look at the good in his daughter's life and how she was always trying to find somebody that she could cheer up. He said, let's remember the good things.
Yeah.
And I thought how good that was.
Yeah, that's a great example that he would take that. And to me, I knew that that subject would actually come up, and this is like, ah, oh, dang it, this is really bad timing. Like, we're going to have to talk about that's going to happen. But the example that he showed by talking about how wonderful his little girl is and by not holding a grudge towards the man, because I don't know if I could do the same. Maybe that's why I'm not presented with that in my life. But that's a great example of a great kindness and pulling out the kind things and the happy things in that life. Does anybody else have any examples of type of situation where we can be examples? Yeah.
I have an aunt who was murdered in the mission field. She and her companion were senior sisters, and they were both murdered. And it's interesting that because of the reaction of the families of both of those sisters, of holding no grudge toward the man who had killed them because they found them immediately, the missionary work opened up because people were so impressed that those families would not hold a grudge toward that man. They wanted to know what in the world these people knew that we don't know that would make them happen.
Yeah, and I'm sure that when that happened and the person said, I don't hold a grudge, that's their own personal thing, but I doubt that they realized what an effect that that would have on that they were just being who they were. Yeah.
Well, and to go one step further, when we were in England on our mission, we had elders live with us. And one of the last elders that, before we left the mission field that was with us, his father was an FBI agent, and he had been called to investigate this murder. And so we had this little bit of a connection here, and he said that it, of course, you know, remember the church, he says, again, people were so impressed. And here I was getting it many years later from a young man who was 19 years old.
Wow, that's amazing. That's a great example.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that if you're in those situations and you want out and you don't quite know what to say or what to do, Heavenly Father will give you the words. And they'll come flowing out of your mouth, and you won't even know where they came from. I was in a situation one time where a really good friend of mine came up in a topic of conversation. Everybody wanted to know the lowdown on everything about her. And I didn't feel comfortable with the situation, but I couldn't figure out what to say, so I excused myself, pretended I was coughing, and went to get a drink of water. And I came back, and the subject had changed, but then it immediately went right back because I wanted to be, you know, wanted me to give them my insight. Mm-hmm. And I remember that I just pretended like I was coughing again and left, and I just said a little prayer when I was by the water fountain. Heavenly Father, I don't want to go to this place. Help me figure out what I should say that will not offend my friends or make them upset, but that I can get out of the situation. I remember going back, and I remember just sitting down, and they immediately started right back in. And I just said, you know what? I really don't know what situation it is, but I figured that if she wanted me to know, she would tell me herself. And it wasn't abrasive to them, and I don't even know, I never would have said anything like that. I would have just run and cried or something like that. But because I had taken the time to say a prayer, Heavenly Father put the word in my mouth and got me out of that situation so that it wasn't as awkward as it could have been, because I really wanted to say, you know, you know, buggers, you know.
Yeah.
There's all these things that I wanted to say, but He will always come to your aid when you're in that situation and you don't want to be there. All you have to do is pray.
That's important. I wanted to bring that up. You know, what do we do in a situation where someone wants the lowdown or the dish of whatever's going on in someone's life that really isn't our business to discuss and to talk about? That's happened a lot recently in my life, because everybody wants to know what's going on with these situations in my life and with my friends and with my family. And it's just like, it's kind of like, well, you know, I'm not at liberty to say. That's all I ever say. It's not my place to say anything. And they're like, oh, you know, okay. And if they get offended, fine. You know, as long as I'm avoiding that situation, as long as I'm not spreading it. But it's hard sometimes for people, for me, because I like to know what's going on. I like to know what's happening, and to know, be the one that does know what's happening, and then people asking me, you know, what's happening with so and so. Well, I know, but I can't tell you. So maybe you should guess, and then I didn't actually tell you. I just, you know, confirmed it. So it's hard to stay out of situations like that. Yeah.
I've got to say, nowadays they say if you want a friend, be a friend.
Yeah.
And my grandma, when she was, we were going to school, and I had an aunt that was going to school, and we were always worried about friends. And of course, now we know if you want a friend, you be a friend. But back in her day, she would say, well, you catch more flies with molasses than you do with vinegar.
Mm-hmm.
That was her way of saying, be sweet.
Mm-hmm.
You don't be bitter or acid, you know, to anybody, or cruel to anybody.
Yeah.
And she never said goodbye. She always said, be sweet.
Be sweet. That's nice. In this lesson, President Smith, well, Francis M. Lyman talks about, he's in the Quorum of the Twelve, and he talks about President Smith and the things that he would do, and he would always be complimenting the people that he'd work with, the people that he was around, addresses, so people that spoke or things like that, he'd always make sure to go out his way and compliment. And so he'd say things like, I am proud of you and the fine things you have done. So I think I want to give a challenge to everyone that each day, to be kind, to me, to be kind, I always think about giving something, like giving a gift or something materialistic. But I think the things that matter most are the gifts that aren't materialistic, the kind words that we say. In my life, like when I was in high school and things like that, and I was having a bad day and I woke up, I'm like, today is just going to suck. Like, it's going to be a bad day. I feel gross. I just feel blah, and today's going to be a bad day. Well, I get to school, and that's the day when so many people are saying hi, smiling, complimenting me, things like that. I'm like, oh, maybe today's going to be a good day. Our Heavenly Father's there for us to help us with those bad days. And so I think that we need to be our Heavenly Father's helpers. So every day I challenge everyone to at least do three kind things, whether it be smiling at someone, giving someone a compliment, or giving someone something. You know, it can be materialistic if you'd like. But I challenge each person to do that. And for me, it is a challenge, just because I don't feel like I put myself out there enough, and I'm like, oh, her hair's really pretty, but I don't want to say anything because I don't want to creep her out. You know, or I really like that shirt, but I don't want to creep her out. She's going to be like, what is wrong with you? But I know that when people compliment me, I never think, what a creep. How long has she been staring at that? You know, I never think that. I'm like, oh, well, thanks. You know, they'll never think that. So I think it's important to remember the way that people will actually take it, and not to overthink it. So three compliments or kind acts a day and see how that is. I challenged myself one time, every time I thought something bad or judgmental of someone, then I'd have to think about something good, and it was exhausting. I'm like, I am really judgmental, and I really need to work on that. But every time I'd think something negative, I'd have to come back and think something positive. So, like, I just shut my brain off that day. I'm like, this is so hard. I'm just not going to look around. Yeah, Tina.
I was just going to say, it was reminding me of, I went to the, like, I have a 2-year-old, and so they, like, have you see, they have, like, this 2-year-old, like, avoid the tantrum before it happens, and you see, like, this little, or not really what size, like, psychiatrist or child psychologist, and they say that for every, like, correction you give your child, you're supposed to give them 5 praises, and I'm pretty sure that doesn't only apply to toddlers, because, I mean, it works miracles with Sullivan, like, he's totally, like, the poster child for that, like, if you praise him and tell him he's doing a good job at stuff, like, we have, like, 0 tantrums in our house, mm-hmm. But, I mean, I have to remind myself, like, that probably applies to, like, being nice to my husband and not always criticizing him and, like, you know, showing appreciation and telling him a good job and stuff, as well as, you know, my family members.
Yeah.
And, yeah, complimenting, you know, all the people in our lives and making mm-hmm. them feel good about themselves yeah. instead of always breaking
being negative, yeah. Which leads me, actually, into the next part. And that what President Smith says, there are those that will make mistakes. Everyone makes mistakes. There are those that will go astray, but they are the children of our Lord, and He loves them. He has given to you and to me the right to go to them in kindness, love, patience, and with a desire to seek and win them from their mistakes. And I really like how he says that, win them from their mistakes. So be kind until you've pulled them away from that mistake, not being like, no, 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 you shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't do this, and you shouldn't do this, and this is wrong. Instead of doing that, just like Tina was saying, it works to praise people. For me, you know, I was reading a book or whatever, and Kaylee, my daughter, she just turned one, she doesn't understand no. Obviously, you say no, and she's like, ah, this is hilarious. It's a game now, so we're going to keep playing. So she doesn't understand no, so the only way I can get her to stop messing with the Christmas tree and pulling all the tinsel off of it is to redirect her to something else. And so I think that's a huge thing that we should be doing in our lives with other people in our lives. Instead of saying, no, don't do that bad thing, and no, I'm not going to talk to you because you're a bad person, redirect that person to kindness and towards our Heavenly Father instead of saying no, 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 no. It's just basic. Yeah, Renee.
I read an Ensign article. It's been years ago. I think it was Ensign. There was a lady that wrote in saying, you know what, I've been married to my husband for so long and I've fallen out of love with him. What do I do? And the response that came back was, find 10 good things that you like about him every day. you know, don't criticize them for, you forgot to take the garbage out again, or, you know, oh, you left this, or I asked you to do this, and why don't you do it? But to focus on finding 10 nice things. And she shared her experiment with, and not necessarily tell him, but, you know, even as simple as, oh, his hair looks nice today, you know. Mm-hmm. And she said it was really hard at first because I felt like I didn't love him. And so it was really hard to find those 10 things of, and she says, and sometimes it was as simple as, oh, he put his bowl in the sink for me, you know?
Yes.
And she says, but as time went on, she was able to find other things that she liked. And she saw a difference in him, too, that as she started to think these things and act nicer towards him, he started to reciprocate. Mm-hmm. And she says, our marriage was saved by thinking those 10 things every single day. Eventually it led to acts instead of just thinking. It led to, you know what, he's made an effort, or he did something nice for me today, so I'm going to do something nice for him. And she said that since that time they've been married for, I don't know, 20 more years or something, but just that little piece of advice alone saved their marriage to, you know, just find 10 things, and it really can be just the simplest things.
Yeah.
Find 10 things a day.
Yeah, I think that's super important, especially even if it's an individual. It doesn't have to be a husband, or, you know, it can be your friend or something like that that you may not get along with or that you've had a hard time with. But, yeah, just simple little things, and you'd be amazed. And it is hard. It can be hard. But it's an effort, and that's why it's a challenge. Yeah.
Well, I think sometimes the reason we criticize is because we have expectations that somebody else doesn't know what they are. You know, I use the...
Sure.
That's my husband, and my idea of watching the children was I come home and the house looks the way it did when I left. And I came home one time and I just got all over his face, and he was like, what? I watched the kids. I watched them take every one of those puzzles out and dump them. He didn't say I had to watch them and pick them up after. And that was my expectation, but I'd never voiced that opinion to him before. So there was no way that he could possibly live up to my expectation. Because when I said watch the kids, that's exactly what he did. He watched the kids. That's a funny thing that we talk about now in our marriage. But he said, if you want me to do something, please vocalize all of that to me so that I'm not letting you down all the time.
Yeah.
And, you know, in primary, the kids, we would say, be reverent. Well, what might be reverent for me might not be reverent to this child or this child. Mm-hmm. And then would model what reverence looks like. And part of the reason that we compliment each other is then they start to get it in their head, oh, yeah, that's what it is that she wanted from me. Mm-hmm. And so it's important with our children that we compliment them. We see a behavior that maybe somebody else is doing. We tell that other person, oh, I really like how you did this. Or you say specifically to your children, I really like the way you did this. And then they start to understand what your expectations are. And then they say hello to them.
Exactly. I think that's really important. As an educator, as a teacher, I was taught many times that it's important, instead of to scold and to say no, 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 no over and over, to pick out when they are good and just, like, blow it up, basically. When they are good, just be like, oh, way to go, good job. And be descriptive and explain why. Don't just be like, good job, you did good on that problem. Say why you did good, why they did good, what you mixed that well, or, you know, something like that. Yeah.
I had fun in Walmart the other day, of all places. But when you come to the end of the aisle, and there's another aisle going this way, I almost bumped into this lady with a basket full, and I said, oh, excuse me, and she said, oh, excuse me. And I looked at her, didn't know her from Adam, and I said, oh, I love your hat. And she had, like, a man's haircut on here and about that much on the top, and it was all standing straight up. And I love your hair. That sure gives you a lot of time in the morning when you get in the shower, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
Yes, it does. So then we had a conversation about, was her hair thin or was it thick? And I said, well, mine's thin. I couldn't wear my hair like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
She said, well, mine's thin, too. That's why I wear it this way. Okay. Well, Merry Christmas to you. And we parted. I never saw her before or since. So.
I'm sure that made her day. You probably have no idea.
No, it made mine.
Yeah. It probably made both of yours, yeah.
I have a little plaque that my daughter gave me hanging in the kitchen. It says, keep your words soft and sweet. You never know when you may have to eat them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. My husband made a good comment, you know, with everything in the world that's going on, that no matter what someone does, it will always come back and come back, whether it be good or bad. And I have found that so many times. If I ever say anything negative towards someone, I'm like, this will never get back to him, so I'm totally safe. It somehow always does. Like, how did that even happen? Or if you're saying something like negative towards someone, and you're like, they're right behind me, aren't they? Shoot, yep, there's no way out of that one. That's happened to me a couple times. So I think it's important for us to remember that the kindness comes around. So if we're doing kind deeds, then people see that, and eventually that will lead back to us. And if we want kindness, we need to show kindness. If you want to be want a friend, be a friend. I know that our Heavenly Father also has a big hand in that, and that we are His tools. We are the ones that should be helping with people's day when they feel down and when they feel sad, that we need to be there and be the compliment or the smile that's like, oh, maybe I can make it through today. Maybe I am worth something because that person smiled at me. So I challenge you, and I wish I could talk to each of you after and see what your experiences were, but I do challenge you to do those three things each day and to see how that changes your life and your mindset and how you feel about people. And I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.